Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good afternoon. I hope all is well with you. Happy Friday. It is Friday, June 23rd, and it is 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and of course, it is 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I hope all of you are doing beautiful, and I pray that all is well with you. Today's show, I'm going to be discussing the parable of the seed and the sower, that's in Matthew 13 and the other gospel. And I pray that it blessed you because this is something that I didn't decide on my own, but that the Holy Spirit wants me to teach on. He knows that I'm qualified to do so, so here I am. But I am nothing without Jesus, as I am connected to the vine every minute and every second, as we all should be and should be our desire. So I'm going to pray, and we're just going to go right in it. That is my agenda. However, I do not have my own opinion. I do not have my own will or desires. I am submitted, completely submersive to the will of the Holy Spirit, the Angel I live in. So if a word of knowledge, word of healing, miracles comes forth, that is the Holy Spirit, because often what I like to teach on or what I'm scheduled to teach on, he directs my conversation to help someone who may be listening who needs it. And that's exactly how it should be. We should go to church expecting to hear from the Holy Spirit of God as people are led by him. And unfortunately, and I do apologize, that is not always the case. We're hearing political views. We're hearing agendas of other people and their opinions. We shouldn't have an opinion as ministers. We should only be yielded and submitted to the hope, to the will of the Father. And even if he gives us a 5-minute teaching or a 10-minute teaching or a 30-minute teaching, that is what we should preach on, and that is it. Because with that, when we are obedient, the Holy Spirit, there's an anointing that is followed with that word. And your words carry power, and that will go into someone's heart, into the soil of their heart. It can change their heart, because we truly cannot change. We cannot force anyone to do something, and we shouldn't. That is, you're bordering on witchcraft, you're bordering on all types of things that you're controlling. So don't do that, because that invites the spirit of Jezebel, which is the demonic spirit. You know, they have all these words for Jezebel and Leviathan spirit. Those are all demonic spirits. And Jezebel, just because it was in a woman, it doesn't have to be in a woman, it can be in a man as well. I've seen it both. So just the whole universe who created us, created everything that we see, he can do whatever he wants, yet he doesn't control us because he loves us. Love never, ever, ever controls. We can suggest, we can admonish, but we don't want to force people or control people, because now you're dealing in a demonic realm. You're stepping into an avenue or realm that you have no business doing. Like I said, God the Father, when the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years and their destination was only 11 miles away, he did not force them, and he could have. He could say, hey, listen, your destination is only 11 minutes. It's only a maximum 11, a 4-day trip max. They could have done it too, but, you know, you have women and children, so you can't walk, you know, all the time. You know, a 4-day trip max. And it took them 40 years. Why? Because of the stubbornness of their heart, because they refused to yield to the direction of the Holy Spirit. And God the Father, he could have done that. He could have forced them to go that way. But would that have been love? Would that have been the right way to do that? No. So in God's infinite power and his might, he doesn't force us to do anything. He gave us the free will. So with you, don't force your spouse to do things. Don't force your children to do things. Go in your secret closet and take it to God in prayer. And I know this is a hard thing. I know loving your enemies is a hard thing. Let me tell you, I'm living this. I have trials after trials after trials because of my assignment. And you know what? God cannot use anything he has not tested. So if you're experiencing this, if you're being tested, if you're being trialed, know that God loves you. He tests us, and he wants to make sure that we are thoroughly equipped for the assignment. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I know I was kind of fast on that, but I want to get into what we're going to get into. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to minister to the people. I thank you that it is by your word that we are set free and we are delivered. You took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. You rendered the devil, Satan, powerless. And I thank you, Father, as believers in Christ, that we recognize that we have all power over the enemy and that our words have power. And, Father, change our hearts. Change our hearts to the way that you want them to be. Change our hearts to what you want us to say and what you want us to do so that we can make heaven and so that we can be pleasing in your sight as Jesus was. Just as Jesus has the Holy Spirit, we have that same spirit that Jesus has, so we can do miracles. Jesus says, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. So let us do those greater works. Show us those greater works, Father. Show us your will for our life so that we may walk in it. I bind and I rebuke any delay. I bind and I rebuke any satanic hold or mind control in the name of Jesus. May you be set free from the words that are coming out of my mouth through the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So now, my scripture reference and the title of this message is, What's Your Soil? And just to give you a brief background of what we mean soil, so the soil is... connected. I apologize. So Jesus, when we're talking about soil, we're talking about, when you say seed, the seed represents the gospel, and the soil represents our hearts. So when we're talking, and then the gospel and the soil represents anyone who proclaims the gospel, and then when that soil proclaims the gospel, the soil is our hearts and our response to the gospel. So let's read chapter 13 in verses 1 through 9. And I'm reading from the King James Version. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. This is Matthew 13, 1 through 9. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, now I want to explain to you really briefly what a parable is, just so we can put everything in context. And like an old definition of a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Parables tell a story using something we see in everyday life that will help us understand a spiritual truth that we can't see with our eyes. So when Jesus taught in parables, he used things that the people of his day were familiar with. If Jesus were teaching with parables today, they would be different because our culture is different. There might be fewer stories about farming and more stories about maybe computers or tech, because that's what everybody's into. We have a computer and our phone. So the parable that I'm reading today is about planting seeds. Most of the people that Jesus was speaking to were farmers. That makes sense. They understood every single thing about soil and about seeds and plants because they grew their own fruits and veggies. Today, not all of us know about planting seeds since we go to the grocery store to buy all of our food, and some of us have it delivered. So let us look at how seeds grow into a plant very briefly, contain nutrients and energy inside of that hard protective coating. So first the seed is buried in the ground, and then when the seed is good and soft and it's in warm soil and it's all comfy and cozy, it sends out a little root that goes down into the soil. That, you know, that root plants it, you know, gives it footing, plants it in there. The root starts to drink up the nutrients that are in the soil. And this gives the teeny tiny plant more energy. It gives it enough energy to start growing. And then a tiny stalk starts to reach up out of the ground with the sun on it and the stalk, and it's growing. The nutrients going into the root from the rain and the soil, more roots grow, and the plant begins to thrive and begins to get stronger. So now let's continue our Bible reading. I hope that helped you about what a parable is. So this is 13 verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now remember, a sower is the person that's proclaiming the gospel. And he sowed some, and he sowed, and when he sowed, verse 4, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other seeds fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the parable is more about the ground than the sower. So the teacher or the person that's ministering the gospel, they have a handful of seeds, and you know, you would take those seeds and you would sprinkle them on the four types of soil. So the first type of soil that we talked about is the path, or what the Bible says, the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. And you say, Aaliyah, what does that mean? So a path is where many people have walked, and the dirt, and it's like well-worn. The ground of a path is harder than the ground on either side of it. So the more people walk on a path, the more packed down the dirt becomes. So when the seed that fell on the wayside, it could not sink down into the dirt because it was fallen by the wayside. So before the seed could not even take root, the birds came and ate the seed. So it was just there on the wayside. It was like, it was already trodden, and it was just on the path. It was a trodden path where people had walked and trodden. So, you know, it was just laying there. And so the birds saw it and they came and ate it up. And the second type of soil is that stony places where there was not much earth. So there might have been some earth, but it wasn't much earth. And some of the seed that scattered fell onto this, or this rocky place. And you may say, do you see much dirt? There's not that much dirt here, right? So do you think this will be a good place for a seed to grow if there's not that much dirt in this rocky place? It is possible, because there's some dirt there for things to grow on the rocks. But usually plants don't live long when they're planted in that rocky type of environment. Plants have to have roots. Like I explained to you how a seed is, how a seed thrives, it has to have root, the soil has to be deep enough so it can establish some roots. So even though this was on a rocky place and there was some earth, plants must have roots down in the soil. So in rocky places, the hard rocks block the roots. Any seed that would start to grow in that thin soil would soon wither in intense heat and die. So we've explained the wayside and the rocky places. So now we've explained two types of hard soil, and we're going to explain two more. And let me just check my time. I have 16 minutes left. So the third soil that Jesus talked about is among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. So what you might say, Aaliyah, what does that mean? So the thorns grew up and crowded out the plant. What is the number one rule about pulling weeds? You have to get the roots out. So if you don't pull out the roots, the weeds will grow back. Weeds are very strong, and they're forceful. So wherever there are weeds, they take over the good plants. These are those thorns that choked and crowded out that plant, that seed that was trying to grow. Strong roots of the weeds use up all the nutrients in the soil, and the plants are left with nothing. So what happens? These plants barely grow at all, and they don't produce
any fruit, any veggies, or anything of substance. And so finally, we have this good soil. This is the good soil that we all want. This is the good soil that we want the Holy Spirit to cultivate in our hearts. This good soil produced a crop of 100, of 60, and or 30 times more than what was planted. Why? Because farming experts know just what kind of soil is needed for their crops. They will add the right kind of fertilizer, you know, vitamins and nutrients so their plants can grow. They want their seeds to grow into large, healthy plants that will give them good fruits and veggies. If it is done right, a handful of seeds will produce bushels of good things seed, as all of us very well know. So what is the spiritual truth here? This may seem like, I hope it doesn't seem foreign to you, but remember, many of the people who were listening to Jesus were farmers. They knew a lot about dirt and soil. So Jesus was talking to them using words and pictures that they could understand. Jesus wasn't teaching them something new about farming. He was just simply using what they already understood about farming to teach them something that they didn't know about the kingdom of God. So remember, a parable, as I mentioned before, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is what we use in everyday life to open our eyes to understand a spiritual truth. So now when we're talking about the spiritual application of this, we're talking about the soils are the heart of the people. So what is Jesus saying to the people? The seed that is sown is the gospel, the good news about Jesus. The soils are the hearts of the people who make a choice about the message. The condition of a person's heart can be compared to the different kinds of soils that they receive, that receive the seed or the gospel. So I'm just going to explain the four types of soil really briefly so that you will get a grasp of it, because I believe that repetition really helps us. So the hard path, some of the seed fell on the path, which is the wayside, and the birds came and ate it up. So what this means is some people hear the truth, but like hardened paths, they don't let it sink in. It kind of, that reminds me how they kind of frivolously, and I don't mean to make this sound harsh, but they frivolously discard it. They don't let it sink in and let it go in, as some people say, going one ear and out the other. Soon the devil takes that truth away. In the Bible, some people would say the birds are sometimes a picture of a devil. If people do not receive and respond to the word with faith, opportunity will be stolen by the evil one. So you hear a beautiful word and you don't respond in faith, there it goes, there's that bird. See, that's the goal of the devil. He lives in deception. He lives in that realm of deception where he doesn't want you to know the truth. So when you hear something that could deliver you, that could enlighten you, that could help you live better, that could help you grow in your walk with Jesus Christ, and you don't apply faith to that so you can learn more about it and believe it, then he's going to be right there to take that up. And you may say, oh my gosh, Leah, there are 7 billion people in the world. Let me tell you, there are more demons than there are people. There are more demons than there are people. But we, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You don't have to fear the demons. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. There are 1,000 angels to one person. So we are far, there are far more greater that are with us than are with them. So be encouraged, saints. Don't be afraid. But I'm just letting you know that every word, every thought that you think is being recorded. So just soil. Now we're going to talk about the rocky place. So some of the seed fell into the rocky place. These people hear the message with great joy. They're excited. Oh, man, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. But like seeds on rocky soil, remember we talked about it has a little earth, but it can't take root because of the earth is so shallow. They seem to be happy to hear about Jesus and his great love, but they do not let it sink in their heart. So the first one was the wayside. They let it go one ear off the other. The second one, they have a little earth, but they don't let it sink in their heart. on the outside, they may express great enthusiasm about hearing the gospel, but inwardly, they don't carefully consider it. These were great crowds who followed Jesus, but only a few were his true disciples. When these people face pressure or bad circumstances, they quickly forget about God's word. A true believer follows Jesus no matter what. Now we're going to go to the third soil, which is the thorns. Thorns in the rocky place sound familiar, but I'm going to explain the difference. So when the seed fell upon thorns, when the gospel fell, when the sower sowed the gospel into the person with a thorny heart or thorny soil, that's when some people hear God's word, and you know what? They start to actually grow and bear fruit. So now the wayside one, that was just they went in one ear, out the other. The birds came and ate up the seed. The rocky soil was, it had just a little bitty earth, but it was not enough earth where the seed could grow. There wasn't enough soil. So they didn't carefully consider the gospel that was being preached. So now the thorny one, well, the first one where they didn't apply any faith at all, the second one was rocky. They had a little earth, but they didn't carefully consider it. So they, it didn't have enough root to sink in. So now the thorny one is some people where they hear the word and they start to grow and they bear fruit. But you know what? They're looking around the environment. Remember Peter, when Jesus was walking on the water, and Jesus, Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come unto you. And the Lord said, come. And Peter was walking on the water, but then he started to look around. And the wind was boisterous, and the waves were catching up, and the waves were loud, and he began to sink. Why? Because he looked at his circumstances. The same way with the thorns. They became worried about the problems of daily living. They may think that if they only had more money and more things, they would be happy. These wrong beliefs take up all the person's time and energy, just like the weeds steal all the nutrients from the good plants. These people do not focus on living for God, so they don't produce any spiritual fruit. Instead, they focus on the problems and the circumstances. There's nothing wrong. Let me just get this straight. There's nothing wrong with the sower or the seed. The problem is the soil. The person who hears the word, that is the soil. The soil is you. The soil is the person that is listening to my voice right now. The soil is you as you listen to the message that is being preached. I am the seed. Actually, I am the sower planting the seed. You are the soil, and I'm describing what type of soil you may have or may or may not have that is representative of these four types of people. So, again, there's nothing wrong with the soil or the seed. The problem is the soil. The person like you who's hearing this word, we must trust God to deliver us from worries and grief so that we can grow in God's word and that have that good seed. So now, fourth is the good soil. And this produced 160 and 30 times more than what was planted. Isn't it great? Isn't it wonderful to know that some of the seed fell on good soil? This represents the people who heard God's word and actually believed it. Not only did they believe it, but they put their trust in Jesus. And not only did they put their trust in him, their hearts received the message of the kingdom, and the seed, finally, it took root. So just like when you plant actual seeds into the ground, the message of the kingdom will grow gradually. We don't plant a seed and see that plant the next day. True growth takes time. And sometimes we can plant seeds, we see different kinds of things that actually grow. Some trees produce fruits, some produce veggies, some produce lots of fruits, some produce little. Even the soil that produces a small crop is considered good. So don't be discouraged if you just see a small amount of fruit, because that you're still growing. And the same is true in the hearts of all of the believers. There are people who hear the same truth, and they read the same Bible, they grow up in the same household, they listen to the same parents, and they grow up in the same church but produce different kinds of fruit. Some are missionaries to other countries. Some are simply sharing God's love with a friend. Some may be working in the sanitation department where they're sharing their person, allows God's truth to grow in their heart, it will be the right kind of fruit. It will be the kingdom fruit. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this is helpful because for growing this, I think this parable is actually helpful for growing actual seeds and plants. But how can you test the soil of your heart? So you say, Lee, okay, I know the four types of soil, but how do I know what type of soil I have? How do I know what is the condition of my heart? And Jesus gives us the answer. He says we can look at the fruit in our lives. Teachable, faith-filled heart, like good soil, will produce much spiritual fruit. And the spiritual fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit is love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, self-control, forgiveness, and grace and compassion. Another fruit is sharing God's truth with others. So the test for good heart soil is checking to see whether there is any of this fruit in your life. If so, you know that God's word has taken root in your heart. You have believed the truth of Jesus, and your beliefs guide your actions. You have trusted Jesus, so his spirit lives in you. It is also interesting to note that a plant doesn't decide when to bear fruit. It just happens. In the same way, we can't decide when we're going to bear a spiritual fruit. Fruit comes naturally when we remain connected to Jesus. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains in me and I in him, he will bear a lot of fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. That's John 15:5. So we need to stay connected to Jesus, because without him, we cannot bear any fruit. We cannot do anything. And remember, we aren't responsible to make the fruit. We are responsible to keep the soil in good condition. We're responsible to keep our hearts teachable. We are responsible to be led by the Spirit so we can have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, self-control. That's our responsibility. Good soil has sunlight, water, and nutrients. So what is the fertilizer for our soil? It is reading God's word. It's listening to good teachings. It's praying. It's listening to God. Jesus is the light. His word is our food. The Bible says we live not by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Good soil is also free of rocks and weeds. How do we keep those rocks and weeds out of our hearts? We don't plant things in our heart or mind that are against God. TV shows, songs, music, movies, books, and video games and the like, those will plant rocks and weeds in our heart that will try to choke out the seed in our life. So now for the problem soil. Sadly, there are three kinds of heart soil that don't bear any kind of spiritual fruit. These people don't share the truth that is in deep down in their hearts. They don't share the gospel. Instead of good fruit, their lives are full of worry and fear and greed and frustration and jealousy, envy. They think more about themselves than about the Lord. If this sounds like your life, there's only one way to make a change. And Jesus says, teach the way in John 14:6. Confess your sins. Tell the Lord that your heart has not been good soil, and ask him to plow up the hard places and replace them with good, soft, pliable heart soil that will be perfect place for his truth to take root and grow and listen. Praise the Lord. I hope this encouraged you. I hope this blessed you. I do apologize that I did go a little fast because I only have 30 minutes, but you are happy to replay this message. You could always email me at Aaliyah, A-L-E-A, at personal, P-R-S-O-N-A-L, hearts.org. If you like a Bible or if you need anything, God says to ask and you shall receive. May God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend, and I look forward to being with you next week. Thank you so much.